This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly with you today. I'm in for Joe Giglio. This is the midday show discussing Dallas Goedert returning to the Philadelphia Eagles. Seems like this deal is going to get done. Restructuring the contract, probably best for both sides. So discussing that. Also, the Phillies. Phillies win last night in Tampa. We've been too hard on the Phillies so far this year. I think we have been. Hugh does not. And now, to talk about the Phillies, talking about the Eagles as well, we go to 94 WIP's Phillies reporter, Devin Caney. What's going on, Devin?
Dev.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hugh, I'm shocked by the size of the water bottle that you just showed on camera. You're listening, Hugh is like a gallon-sized water.
You got to get a gallon of water in every day, Dev. I got to do it.
It's monstrous.
You must have to go to the bathroom every 2 minutes.
Not every 2 minutes, but when I go. You know, I mean, yeah. I wasn't expected to be asked about my water bottle.
Well, a lot of it's ice. You got a ton of ice.
I got the ice and I got to keep it cold. But, you know, I got to drink the water. It's like a gallon. It is a gallon. It's like the whole, you know, get a gallon. Supposed to drink like a gallon a day.
I like it. Yeah. I think it's I obviously prioritizing your health. That's important here.
I'm trying.
So that's obviously the right thing to do. But Devin, we'll get to the Phillies in a minute. But first, before we get to that, the news about Dallas Goedert likely coming back to the Eagles on a restructured deal. Your reaction, how big do you think it was for the Eagles to get this done?
I think it's massive, and I feel relieved both, you know, covering the Eagles and being a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I feel like we were all a little too casual about the fact that Dallas Goedert might not have been an Eagle, you know, as soon as next season. I understand that there was a chance they could have, you know, drafted one of the talented tight ends. It was a good draft for the most part for tight ends, but Eagles didn't land one in the draft. And even if they had, we don't know for certain how a player like that is going to progress and develop once they enter the NFL. So Dallas Goedert is not an easily replaceable asset to this offense. And I think regardless of, you know, receiving and touchdowns, like he's really important for other plays within the offense. Like he's a great blocker. And that's more than even someone like Grant Calcaterra, who is talented, but nowhere near the level of Dallas Goedert can say. So I think this is massive. I'm really, really glad that they're working this out with Dallas.
Are you a little bit concerned about his health? Because, you know, he hasn't played a whole lot of games in the last couple of years. I think he missed like 16 games in the last 3 years or something like that. So are you a little bit concerned about his health?
Well, it's funny because at the very end of the season, like before draft talk and projections and predictions really started ramping up, I was really big on the Eagles going for a tight end with one of their early round picks. Because of that, because like regardless of Dallas Goedert and his future, this was before all even the rumors and everything that he wasn't going to stay with the Eagles started ramping up. I knew that he has trouble and has had trouble staying healthy. And that is a problem, but he has shown up for this team in its biggest moments, right? Like, even if you look back playoffs aside, we all know what he did in the playoffs. I can bring up the stiff arm moment. Like, there are so many moments that Dallas Goedert came through, especially this past postseason run to the Super Bowl. But when the Eagles were really struggling at the start of the season and they were playing the Saints, I think it was like the crazy low-scoring game. Dallas Goedert was the one guy who connected with Jalen Hurts and scored a touchdown. So he's come through in moments when they really need him. And it's unfortunate that he can't seem to string a full season healthy together. Hopefully he can, you know, improve on that. I don't know if that's going to be the case as he gets older. But that's why you have guys like Grant Calcaterra, and they have signed guys throughout the offseason who can still kind of step in. But Dallas Goedert is there in the moments where you need him the most.
Yeah, now aside from Mekhi Becton, you keep this offense together. I mean, that's the one guy you lose, but everybody else coming back and should be even better this year. So big move for the Eagles. Let's move to the Phillies, Devin. They get a big win last night, beat the Rays in Tampa 8-4. The power back for some of these guys, Kyle Schwarber, Alec Bohm goes deep, Nick Castellanos hits a three-run homer. What were your thoughts on that win last night for the Phillies?
I thought it was great. I thought it was much needed, especially, you know, Alec Bohm hits his first home run since September of 2024. And I know, you know, you can say it was a little league park, but would have been a home run in 7 of 30 MLB stadiums. TK, I heard you mention that earlier on the show.
Thank you.
I believe Steinbrenner has the same dimensions or is at least the same size, like feet-wise, as Yankee Stadium in the MLB. So I still think it counts. And I'm really happy that Alec Bohm finally got that monkey off his back. And hopefully, you know, this can lead to bigger and better and more slugging from him. I still think, you know, there's things here and there that are left to be desired with this Phillies team. But, you know, to what you guys are talking about throughout this show, I think they are kind of in a perfect spot right now. Like going into this season, Rob Thomson had said himself, the players had said themselves, like they didn't want to start too hot, because look at what happened last season when they played the Mets in early June of last year. There were like 15 games up on them in the NL East. Now they're 2 games back, and I personally would take that now in early May and then have them ramp up as the season goes on versus starting off really hot and holding on to that number one spot in the NL East and then fizzling out at the end like we saw last season.
You know what, I think Dev, that Kyle Schwarber is one off from the league lead in home runs. Do you think it's time for the Phillies to start talking about maybe re-signing Schwarber, or should we wait to the end of the season?
I don't know. Every time, I think he's tied now with Aaron Judge for the most.
Oh,
home
he's tied.
Runs.
Okay, I thought he was
I think he leads the National League, but he hits a home run like every single night, so it's hard to keep track. But he's certainly up there, and he's certainly playing really, really well. And every time he hits a home run, I have this little voice in the back of my mind that's like, ching, his price just goes up and up.
Yeah, the price of the brick goes up.
He is tied with Judge, by the way.
Oh, he's tied. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought he was one.
Yeah, okay. I think 12 apiece.
And Cal Raleigh.
I think Kyle Schwarber is immensely important to this team on and even off the field. I know that, you know, people have issues on the morning show. We're talking about the length of the contract that he would probably want and expect would be longer than maybe
like
what the Phillies would be willing to give him.
Yeah.
I think Joe DiCamera did say that. But if I'm John Middleton, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'm giving Kyle Schwarber, I don't want to say whatever he wants, but I am trying my hardest to meet Kyle Schwarber in a place where he's going to be happy, because I don't think you want to lose a guy like Kyle Schwarber on this team, even if he's getting older. I think that just proves and adds to his value on the team. I mean, he's the biggest vocal leader in that clubhouse. And then he goes out there and he's the one consistent guy producing on offense throughout the front half of this or front part of this season. So I think that they should make that a priority, but I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, before the end of this season. So we'll see what happens.
So Devin, with all the ups and downs, we sit here with the Phillies, 35 games in, they're 20-15, 2 games back of the Mets in the NL East. And the main thing we're talking about today is, have we been too hard on the Phillies for some of their struggles, specifically that week where they lose the Mets series and things look really bad? Where do you fall? Do you think we've been too hard on this team for what was not a terrible start, maybe a little uninspiring at times? Where do you fall on it?
So I think that we've been very hard on the Phillies, but I think it's working. So I think that this kind of underdog mentality or people kind of counting them out already, you know, even though it's only early May and this early in the season, I think that can work for this Phillies team, right? Like it worked for the Eagles. If you look back to 2023 season, when they kind of collapsed and fell apart after going to the Super Bowl, there were all these high expectations on them, right? Like go back to the Super Bowl and finally win it. They couldn't get it done. They were clearly all feeling the pressure and the bright lights. Cut to the next season, they go to the Super Bowl, they win it. This Phillies team, I feel like, is almost in a similar spot where they've had this pressure. And I think that they still feel that pressure in a way, but the kind of counting them out and saying that they can't get it done, I think that just fuels them. And I think in particular, guys like Bryce Harper really feeds off of that like underdog energy because he leans into that Philly mentality. So I know it's not the most analytical answer, but I think that this team kind of needs us to be hard on them.
Yeah, and hey, obviously the reaction to last year is a big part of it, but the Phillies playing a lot better, definitely taking steps in the right direction. Hopefully they can continue it. But Devin, thanks a lot for
wait a minute, let me ask
for
Devin
joining us. Oh, yeah,
quick.
Sorry.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot like this, but yeah. I forgot to ask him myself this morning. Does it look like Joe DeCameron's losing weight? Because we had a little debate about this the other day, and I was wondering, was he incorporating sit-ups into his workout? But does it like Joe DeCameron slimming down a little bit?
I don't know. I haven't really looked. maybe he has been going to the gym, not very consistently, but you know, here and there. So
here and there. Wait a minute. Is it him and Jack got something coming up though, right? Like, and he was talking, like,
they
he was doing a lot of trash talk.
Set a date to it. Joe finally agreed to officially face Jack in baseball and basketball. I don't even know. They keep adding sports without adding a date for when this is all going to go down. Uh-huh. So who knows? Look, I know I'm on the morning show with Joe. It's hard to bet against Jack Fritz winning.
No, I tell you what,
running away
like,
with
like
it.
Seriously, all jokes aside, because Jack's been working out. Jack's lost a lot of weight, and I meant to ask him this morning, was he doing sit-ups? But I forgot, and I didn't want to put you on the spot. But I just wanted to see, has his body composition started to change even a little bit?
Well, it feels like, Devin, it feels like you're trying to say no in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, it does. That's why.
That's what it feels like.
No, I will say this. I don't know about the body composition. I do know Joe has been going to the gym. I can guarantee you he's not doing sit-ups.
Okay.
Because I answer your question.
Okay. Okay, so this is the last question. So Devin, are you still claiming Delco? Or did did some things kind of happen that make you kind of move off of that a little bit?
Well, so Radner is in Delco, kind of. But I know that you tied my name to an event that happened in Delco.
No, Dev, I was just like, I didn't actually tie your name. I was just kind of wondering, did you kind of know?
I tuned into the radio, pooper. And I next thing I hear is Hugh talking about the Delco pooper and Devin. And I'm like, how did I get...
Devin, now it's a good thing that you failed that test because now you've been excommunicated.
It's guilt by association for people like me.
I can't. Hands off. Nothing to do with me. I don't claim it.
There you go.
You're the best.
Well, Devin Caney, 94 WIP Phillies reporter. Devin, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
I'd appreciate it. I love the question about Joe. The body composition.
No, because Joe, like, they've been going back and forth a little bit.
Yeah.
And Jack has been taking this serious, way more serious than Joe's been taking it.
I don't know about that.
But well, Joe, you have to admit, he might not be taking it serious.
I think
but Jack's
taking Joe too lightly.
Well, Jack's been working out, so he's not taking him that lightly.
Well, Joe now is talking about if they face each other in baseball, he might not even have to swing. Like, he could just work a walk, and that would show that he wins. I don't know if that
I don't know,
is
man.
You can't do that.
I don't know, man. Like, Jack's hella competitive. Like,
it's been a long time since Jack's thrown a baseball.
Jack is
right.
Mr. I used to pitch. Like, I think the standard should be higher for him.
You can't walk the camera. You don't think Jack has been pitching?
I don't think he has.
Not competitive.
The way that you know Jack way better than I do.
He's washed up.
I think Jack's been pitching. I think Jack has been quietly pitching somewhere to somebody.
You think so? I think so.
I think he's been doing something. Jack's not about to be. He's not about to let the camera, like, just doing bad.
He might not have a choice.
Well, I can't wait to see this. Regardless,
this is going to be interesting.
215-592-9494. Go back to the phones. But Kyle, you said that now Kyle Schwarber's tied with Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh.
The big dumper.
I was going to ask you guys if you knew his nickname. He's got a big butt. Big dumper.
Yeah, how about that?
Did you know that here?
No, dumping him into the seats all season.
I'm about to look it up, though, now. I'm
kidding. There's not much more to the story. Basically, his nickname is the big dumper because he's got a big butt.
Yeah.
Big dumper. That's
an HR problem.
Nice. 215-592.
I did it on my phone, though.
9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
What's going on, man?
Happy Winning Wednesday, baby. Come on, man. Let's get some hypeness in the building, baby. We on our way to start doing what we needed to do. Listen, I want to say something about Goddard first, man. I'm glad they finally, you know, going to give him a contract. Like, you know, Goddard is an X factor for the Eagles. I don't care. You know, a lot of people don't see that, man. This guy, he does a whole lot, man, especially with that blocking. And you got to understand, yeah, he's hurt because he's blocking. When he catches the ball, he's getting yak yards. I mean, this guy is consistent on every play damn near that he's on the field. So it's going to be some injuries here and there. But one thing I have to say, he stayed dedicated and he stayed committed to winning, man. And for us to, if we was to lose him, man, that would have like been a big loss. And I'm glad they finally got this contract, you know, and they're ready to sign him for how many years or whatever. But he's a big X factor, man. And you'll see this season coming up. And I want to say something about these Seals, man. I keep telling everybody, man, yeah, I'm the only one that haven't been doubting these dudes. Just like I wasn't doubting the Eagles. That fifth game last season with the Eagles, I was on board because I saw that they was mentally ready. And that's what I'm starting to see these guys do as far as the Phillies. They starting to get mentally ready. They starting to actually have fun again. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that, you know, it's not so much pressure, man. And just like what you said, Hugh, it ain't about the start. It's about the finish. And that's what we need to really focus on this season. How to finish, man. And what I'm going to need is for Rob, when it comes down to managing these tight games toward the end, I need you to make the right calls, man, and put the right people in place, man. And I'm going to end it with this. My man Kepler, I keep telling y'all, he's eating up. And I would like to see Kepler, and I want to see Kepler go in front of Castellanos. That's going to be a crazy combination, man. They need to incorporate that into the lineup, man. And, you know, I just think we're starting to heat up. And
you still want Alec Boehm to lead off?
Alec Boehm leading off.
It's Will's take.
No, I ain't saying Alec Boehm leading off. I'm just saying in the lineup, I would like to see Kepler in front of Castellanos, okay, whatever the lineup is. What? Because them two together, they hitting heavy, man.
Well, Castellanos has hit pretty well as well. They got to split up the lefties. But anyway, Will, do you have a guess for Hughes Clues?
Okay, I'm going to go with, I heard you talking about her a lot. I'm hoping I pronounced her name right. You said she had the Captain Morgan look.
Tiana Taylor.
It. Yeah.
You know that, I mean, I get it.
Appreciate
that
call,
wasn't
Will.
It. If I mean, we'll walk right into that one.
Who's Tiana Taylor?
She was married to Amon Shumpert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What does she do though? Is she an influencer?
She's a singer. She's an influencer. She's fine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's fine as fuck.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
She's an actress. She's a jack of all trades.
Okay.
Like, she does a whole lot. So right. She was dressed up. Yeah, she was dressed up as Captain. Yeah.
What did you think of her outfit?
Her outfit was flat. You know what's funny? Because I went on a site and I looked at some of the comments, and it's just amazing how many people are clueless about what the Met Gala is. Like, they just woke up one day and figured out what the Met was, because they were talking about the outfits and how. Because Taquan was there, and he had on some high water pants, and people were clowning him about the high water pants. But it's an event where the more over the top you are with your outfit, the more exposure you get.
I'm not going to lie. I think it's really stupid. Like, I think these outfits are ridiculous. There's one girl that's there. I think Jenna Ortega, she has a dress made of rulers. Like, what's the point of this?
Well, it's most dumb. Of the time when you're wearing like high fashion like that, it's basically a one-off. And it's the most outlandish design that you could think of. And, you know, the more that I think about it, and once I found out what the theme was, it was the Black Renaissance and Dandyism, which somebody had to shout out to the person that told me actually what it was. Jalen's outfit made a lot more sense. Now, I still believe he probably could have been a little bit over the top, but I get where he went the more conservative route. But it's about being over the top, and it's about being eccentric. And I don't think a lot of people did that. Because I'm telling you, if I go – whatever the theme is, I'm going over the top.
Yeah.
I am definitely going over the top.
We got to get you there.
Now, I'm trying to figure it out.
This needs to be the crusade. We'll get Hugh to the Met Gala next year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Nick in Hillsboro. What's up, Nick?
Good morning, guys. Hey, TK, good to hear you in the morning as well.
Thanks, Nick.
What's going on, man?
I'm so happy that they brought Goddard back. Tight ends are, you know, a giant safety net for when things hit the fan, so to speak. But one of my gripes I've had forever is, like, the NFL contracts. You always hear year after year guys wanting new deals, like 2 years into a 4 or 5 year deal. You know, they gripe and complain, I've outperformed it and this and that. But in Dallas's case, when he's hurt half the time, I mean, he should be giving money back. He's missing half the year for the contract he has. You know, so I'm glad they came to some kind of agreement to bring him back.
Well, and Nick, I get that he's missed time, but this is the thing. When he's on the field, he's a really good player. And you look at that postseason last year, I don't know if the Eagles win all those games without Dallas Goedert, especially the Packers game and the Rams game. He was really important in the passing game in both those games.
Agreed. I completely agree. And the Saints game, he won almost single-handedly too, mm-hmm. you know? But I'm just happy he's back. My point is that if you can't have it one way where, oh, I outperformed it, I want more money. But then when you kind of underperform it because you're missing so much time, you know, there's got to be a different scenario where, like, things could be more incentive-based or something. There's got to be a better scenario for these contracts because they just don't make sense half the time.
Well, Nick, I'm guessing that, you know, Dallas probably has an incentive-laden contract, or they probably stretched it out so to make it, you know, better for the Eagles. But it probably is something like that. I mean, I get what you're saying, but nobody's ever giving money back. Nobody's ever going to do that.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I hear you, but now ain't nobody doing that.
Well, I'm seeing something right now. This is from Field Yates. He says Dallas Goedert was due $14 million in cash from the Eagles prior to the renegotiated deal. His new deal, $10 million in cash with a chance to earn another million via incentives. So I guess we need to get more information on this, but it seems like this is a good deal for the Eagles.
Yeah, they wanted to bring that cap number down. I'm not a capologist, but I assume that's what they wanted to do. So a lot of times when they want to bring the number down, they'll extend you out and they'll give you a signing bonus mm-hmm. and give you, like, what, say if your contract was $14 million, like it was $14 million, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they gave him a $10 million signing bonus. Maybe they gave him a $6 million. And then they bring his cap number down and they extend his years to help it work for the team. So I don't know. But it sounds like he got some money in his pocket.
Definitely. Nick, what is your guess for Hughes Clues?
I was going to guess Jalen Hurts, but that's probably not it.
That's not a bad guess, though.
Thanks. That's not a bad guess.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, it is not him. But this is also a noteworthy piece from Jeff McLean's reporting here, and this is from EJ Smith, also the Inquirer. Dallas Goedert had options to leave, but decided the best course of action was to work on a new deal that keeps him in Philly for the foreseeable future. So, you know, that's good news. And this is where I think you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as an organization, and we heard Jeffrey Lurie talk about it on with the morning show the other day, is the importance of culture and the importance of creating a place where people want to be. Because this is a situation where maybe if it's somewhere else, maybe it's an organization that doesn't function well. Dallas Goedert saying, no, get me out of here. I'll go somewhere else. I'll figure it out. But the fact that he wanted to stay here, I think, is a massive positive for this team. It speaks to the culture they have.
I'll tell you what, man. As a guy who's been in free agency, got traded here, went to Jacksonville and all this other stuff, it's something to be said about being at an organization that really feels like family. I think that the Eagles were trying to trend in that direction when I left. They were going in that direction, and they finally honed those skills with, you know, Howie being in the position that he's in, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, Mr. Lurie, learning from his mistakes and everything. It feels like home. And not only that, a lot of guys, which is surprising, that are a part of this team, they live here in the offseason. You know, it was a lot of times where when I was here, a lot of guys went home to wherever they were from. But they've really done something with the culture and the way that they treat these players that nobody really wants to leave, man.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, great that Dallas Goedert's back. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to all your phone calls coming up on the Phillies. Have we been too hard on them this season? Hugh doesn't think so. A second Hughes clue coming up. Plus, we'll get to the big news from last night. The Cowboys made a pretty significant trade. Get to what that means for the Eagles. That's coming up next. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly, in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, and I have a read that I have to do. Winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field. And nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. Now during the Mattress Warehouse Memorial Day sale, you can save up to $70 or 70% warehouse-wide. Mattress Warehouse has mattresses for everybody and every budget, like a queen mattress. You can get that starting at $159.99. That's pretty good for a queen mattress, man. Y'all know how much mattresses cost, so, you know, to pay $159.99 for a mattress, that's not a bad deal. Plus, buy one, get one 50% off on all bed gear, pillows, and sheets. These pillows are phenomenal, man. Have you ever had some of them pillows, TK, where you get, they like the firming pillows?
I have.
Awesome time, man.
Need them.
Not sure which mattress is right for you? That's okay. The Mattress Firm has that bed match technology that takes the guesswork out of buying a mattress. The only diagnosis technology backed by real science to help recommend the perfect mattress for you. Do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse Memorial Day sale. Shop the entire selection and find a location nearest you at mattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.